and the Yom Kippur Wars. I hear this term over and over, existential threat. I didn't fully understand it till I read your book and other books. Germany lost World War II, but Germany still continued to exist. The regime changed.
Excellent point. Very, very rare in history where any country faces an existential threat. Japan, for example.
Two nuclear bombs and they're thriving now.
But still, no one tried to wipe Japan off the map. No one tried to throw the Japanese people into the ocean. That's precisely what our enemies wanted to do.
And they openly said that.
And they still say it today. Hey, what does the Iranian regime say? They want to throw us into the ocean. They will wipe us off the map. Israel faces about six or seven existential threats every single day, which just shows you how deep the resilience of this country is. But the United States, I am hard-pressed to say whether it ever faced an existential threat, perhaps during the Cold War, but it was never as media as having enemy armies massing on your border.
And there was mutually assured destruction in the case of the United States. The Arabs could wipe us off the map and there might be no consequences for them. Or certainly in the 1960s, that seemed to be the case. I read that we captured documents of a Jordanian plan to massacre civilians.
Yes. It came up recently, just during the 50th anniversary. And a prominent Israeli journalist turned to me and says, is this true? Were the Jordanian documents? And I was able, through means that I'm not going to discuss here, acquire the Jordanian records of the war, which were really remarkable to read. And one of the documents actually fell into Israel's hands.
During the war, it was captured.
During the war is a document, a Jordanian argument, that talks about capturing the Jerusalem corridor, the area between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and taking out the Israeli civilians and executing them. After the war, Israel sent an emissary, Yaakov Herzog, the brother of Chaim Herzog, and the Israeli president, the uncle of the current head of the opposition here, to meet with King Hussein. And Herzog said to King Hussein, what are these orders? And Hussein claimed to have no knowledge of them. But they are there. And they also go to the existential nature of the conflict. The head of the PLO at the time was a rather loud-spoken individual named Ahmed Shukeri. And when he was asked what would happen to the Jewish prisoners caught in this war, he says, don't worry, there won't be any prisoners.
Wow.
That's what an existential threat means.
The reason this is so important is the apologists for the, especially the Egyptian side in the war, because I think you pointed out that Syrians have never said anything about the war.
They actually don't admit the war took place.
And literally, there's no book published in Syria about the war.
The one book published by a Syrian about the war was published by a Druze officer outside of Syria, and he was later assassinated by the Assad regime.
So the argument that I have heard is, well, you know, yes, Nasser said he would kill the Jews and drive them into the sea, but let's not exaggerate. That was just saber rattling. And if you find that the Jordanians, one of the more moderate forces in the war from the Arab side, they had a specific plan to execute the Jewish prisoners in Jerusalem and in that area. I mean, that shows this wasn't just some paranoid fantasy of the Jews. How do they say, if they're really out to get you, you're not paranoid, right?
Yeah, right. They even paranoids have real enemies, unquestionably.
Doing anything. So Israel.